the benefits, I think, of live stream services is the possibility to do creative things that we can't always inside the church walls. And this, I'm going to preach from outside today for a number of reasons. Creation is often been referred to as the fifth gospel, and there's life and lessons to be learned in that sometimes get missed at the lectern. So with that, I'll try to send the sermon outside. But my question for this week is God with us when we are thriving or when we are weakest? And I think the lessons, the readings that we heard, that the answer seems almost at odds. So from the Samuel reading, which you heard Jim read, we have, and David became greater and greater, for the Lord, the God of hosts, was with him. And from Paul's work of 2 Corinthians, we heard this. But God said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. So I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. And from Mark's gospel, which we heard Angie read, we have the demonstration and proof of Jesus' divinity by his power to heal. And so I'll ask my first question in a different way. Is God's presence in our lives demonstrated by our thriving or by our need? By our strength or by our weakness? Today, the United States of America celebrates Independence Day. And of the stories and myths and ideas that have shaped American identity, one came from the sermon of the Puritan leader and lawyer, John Winthrop, or at least from an interpretation of a few words of that sermon. Winthrop's city on a hill metaphor to describe this unfolding country has been used by political leaders to demonstrate and to enact the idea of American exceptionalism, that God indeed has blessed America. And this is demonstrated by its economic and its global power. So the belief goes that the U.S. is powerful because God is with us. And so we shall be a shining example for other countries to follow. And the fact that America has lost power is certainly indicative, according to this same belief, that we have lost God's favor. Weakness, in this case, is a demonstration of God's absence. The title of Winthrop's sermon was actually a model of Christian charity. Some of his words indeed suggest that God has ordained some to be rich and some to be poor. But the actual emphasis of Winthrop's sermon is to share what one has. That Christian community is made by our capacity to share our resources, that none shall be rich nor poor. The duty of Christian mercy, he writes, is in giving, lending, and forgiving. And here is the context of his infamous quote. He wrote this. Now, the only way to provide for our posterity is to follow the counsel of Micah, to do justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with our God. For this end, we must be knit together in this work as one man. We must entertain each other in brotherly affection. We must be willing to abridge ourselves of our superfluities, for the supply of others' necessities. We must uphold familiar commerce together in all meekness, gentleness, patience, and liberality. We must delight in each other, make each other's conditions our own, rejoice together, mourn together, labor and suffer together, always having before our eyes our commission and community in the work, as members of the same body. So we shall keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. For we must consider that we shall be as a city upon a hill. The eyes of all people are upon us. So summarizing Winthrop's words, it is by our attention to each other and to each other's needs, rather than by power or weakness, that we shall be seen and judged. So as I said at the beginning, these next few weeks I'm going to bring a word from outside, among the life and the gospel that often gets unseen at the lectern. And so here we have, this is a non-native and very invasive Haulikoa tree, or Koa Hauli tree. And it grows in thickets, and it thrives in dry areas. This is Waianae, so it is thriving. And it's actually a member of the pea family. It is a legume, which also means it fixes nitrogen. And then here's another kind of pea. It's also a member of the pea family. It's a Picum sativum, a snap pea. It's also non-native. It actually thrives in cooler areas, and its shoots are really tender and sweet. And so it seems funny in this context, but I think it's illustrative, and that the question of, is God with the kohaole or with the snap pea? I mean, I believe the imprint of the of creation and the creative force is in both. Is reflective of the divine image, both are. It is actually the relationship between them and between the life around them that matters more. How is the kohaole affecting the environment around it? And the same for the snap pea. How can it benefit the life around it? How does it harm it? And how can we pay attention to these relationships? The promise is that God is with us in our thriving. God is with us in our strengths. It is also with that God is with us in our darkest and most despairing, our smallest moments. And so hear this. If you are in a moment of despair, of utter brokenness, of insecurity and broken trust, of confusion and darkness, of weakness and invisibility, God is with you. And if you are in a moment of gift and success, of safety and security, of confident thriving, of power and great light, God is with you too. The vital question that we keep before us is, as Micah names, in whatever place we are, how can we tend to each other?